Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power, which is being broadcast to you via technology from the magnificent city of Anchorage, Alaska, where everybody's out on bikes today. The weather is pristine. You can see the mountains. It's absolutely gloriously beautiful. We have a wonderful guest today that is going to be joining us, and Robin Lee Vella is my guest. Her book is The Silent Voices of the Soul: How to Recognize Spiritual Messages in Everyday Life. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Robin, you yourself are a psychic, and I really enjoyed your book. I thought that your purpose of trying to educate people about how they can, and this is your subtitle, recognize the spiritual messages in everyday life, was really very nicely done. But I'd like for you to tell my audience why and how you have chosen to become involved in the area of psychic understanding and phenomena. Why is this that it speaks so loudly to you that you live it every day?
Oh, it is so important to me, Donna. Ever since I was a little girl, I just knew that there was more to life than what we could see at the surface. I just had this feeling that there was so much more, and I just was on this quest for truth without realizing it. I mean, I through my life, I learned through trial and error. I learned every spiritual lesson the hard way.
Oh, gee, you're part of that club, too? I'm sorry, I didn't know you were also a member. Oh, okay.
Sitting next to each other in the same class, I was totally unaware, oblivious. Oblivious that there was even such a thing as spirit. And literally have been hit over the head by spiritual messages. So this is my thing. I have to get this into the world because it means so much to me. And it just, and I am a psychic, but I'm also a mom. I'm a soccer mom. I'm the lady down the street that makes really good carrot cake. I'm the everyday person. I'm ordinary. And, you know, we all have access to spiritual guidance every moment of every day. And I just want to drive that point home.
Well, I think you've done a very nice job. I really enjoy material when people can convey from their heart, from the center of who they are, what they've gone through, and what has caused them to evolve into their levels of understanding. And everybody's road is their own. There's not one that's better than anybody else's. But it is wonderful to be able to articulate it so someone can actually read your stories, which I really think is special. You start off the book in your first chapter with a story about your son, and you titled the chapter Recognizing the Whisper.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
It was an incredible, pivotal moment in my life. Even right now, I get choked up thinking about it because it was so powerful. I just happened to be tuned in that day because I was quiet, and I was just doing these mindless things like laundry and cleaning and doing dishes, and just my mind was very quiet and receptive to spirit. And I just, out of the blue, I was listening to the radio, and I just happened to say to my husband, you know what, let's go to breakfast. And he's like, well, what's the occasion? I said, there isn't one. I just want to go to breakfast. And he said, okay, we'll go to breakfast. Where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. I have no idea. I came up with that. That's your idea. So we went for a ride, and we were looking around trying to figure out where to go. And all of a sudden, we came to this stop sign, and I look down the road. I usually just look straight ahead, but I'm looking right down the road and see these flashing lights, and sirens are just screaming, and all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, I started thinking about my son Thomas, and he at that point he was 6 years old, and he was at a school that wasn't too far away from there, but I couldn't, in my mind, I have a really terrible sense of direction, so I was trying to figure out where his school was in relation to where we were. And I looked at my husband and I said, how far is Thomas's school from here? And he didn't answer me, Donna. He turned on the radio, and in that split second that he turned on the radio, we had tuned into breaking news that there had been a bus accident near my son's school. The interesting thing about this was my son, at that exact moment, it was 9:30 in the morning, was supposed to be going on a field trip. So we just looked at each other, just knowing that we needed to just drive down this road and make sure everything was okay, because I recognized that Spirit was trying to reach me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're driving and driving, and we get to this accident site, and my heart stopped because there was smashed glass everywhere. There were overturned cars. An ambulance and a police car were pulling away with their sirens on, and there is nobody in sight after that. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, here's the accident. So I got out of the car. There was a roadblock. I jumped over the roadblock and just ran to try to find somebody, and there just happened to be a policeman walking toward me. He just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. And my heart was pounding, and I was just trying so hard to be composed, and I just ran up to this man, and I said, I just heard about the bus accident on the radio. I said, well, you know, were there any injuries? And he very calmly took his hand and put it on my shoulder, and he said, oh, he said, that was another bus accident. He said, all of the children are okay. We just received word. Everybody's okay. There were no injuries as far as we know. You know, it's going to be fine. And I just, these chills just raced through me, because I couldn't get over the enormity of the moment. It hadn't fully hit me yet. I got into the car. My husband was still in the car because he can't run as fast as I can. And so I ran back to the car and told him everything was okay. And as I'm sitting there, I'm just thanking Spirit so much for setting up this situation for me, because I could have just as well been home, sitting on the couch, watching television. And had I been doing that, this was breaking news. It was all over the TV. That is how I would have found out about this incident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It hit me that not only that, my friend who always delivers news to me, because she's always watching the news, would have called me and let me know. So either way, I would have heard about this bus crash, not knowing if my son was okay, not knowing if there were other cars involved, not knowing if there were any other injuries. So it hit me that this was Spirit's way of getting me to a place where I could receive the information in a very calm and composed manner and have the details and bypass all of that drama. So it was an incredible moment, and that was the whisper. The whisper was, this idea that came out of nowhere, let's go to breakfast.
Mm-hmm. One of the elements that you bring out in your book, right in the very beginning, you say, sometimes our lives are too noisy, and this is fascinating to me because I was just discussing that with someone, one of my clients this morning, saying we have so much that we're bombarded with, that we often will ignore those touches.
Yeah.
That's how I call them. You call them a whisper. It's that touch, that awareness, that aha, we will discount it because we've got so much other stuff going on. And so here you were, in this state where you could be reached.
Right.
And the impression, it's so spontaneous. I know in my life there are things that, it's just amazing how it will occur. And you'll seemingly be in, excuse me. Sorry, I got something in my throat there. I don't know what it was. We'll be in that space, and we are amazingly doing something that maybe we hadn't even planned on doing at all, just like you did.
Yes.
And here it comes, here it is, and bingo.
Right.
You go, whoa, wasn't that an amazing something?
Yes.
And it's a rhythm.
It is a rhythm. It's, you know what I call it, dancing with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dance, and it was just, I will never forget that day, because I came home from that incident and said to my husband, oh my goodness, I recognize the whisper, because the old me, the unaware me, would have pushed that aside. I would have said, I have 1,001 things to do. I have laundry in the basement that is piled up to the ceiling. I have clients to call. I have writing to do. I don't have time to go out to breakfast. And I almost did talk myself out of it for a split second.
Uh-huh.
But the bigger part of me knew. There was this knowing in me that I needed to get into that car.
Mm-hmm. I love some of the stories that you have in here.
Thank
you.
And
again, this is something that I resonate with, because just today I was in conversation with someone, and it really makes a difference. You have a story about your grandfather. Now, when someone is passed on, and we've had a very, very close relationship with them in life, many times part of the grief that people feel is the void. That loved one, whether it's a dear friend, it can be a pet, it can be a relative, it can be a mentor, someone that has touched your life in a very special way. When they leave, there's no one really there to take their place.
That's right.
But I have had, as you have had, and I know many of our listeners that are hearing us talk about this today have had, experiences where people will come back, or I don't mean come back, they're really not that far away, but they put us in a positioning, either through a dream, an appearance, or something special, where they say, I'm here, I love you, you're not alone, and live your life as you want to live it. Just know that I am here with you. You had a very special experience with your grandfather regarding that.
I did. It was incredible. And it was right on the eve, you know, right around the corner from his 16th anniversary of his passing. He was my best friend, and just we did everything together. We fished together. He would do these wonderful art projects with me in his basement. There was nothing that Grandpa couldn't do. He built a treehouse for me and my sisters, and just an incredible gifted man who I miss dearly. He was on my mind. I was, for some reason, doing dishes and daydreaming and looking out the window. And winter was just melting away. It was the end of February, and you could see that the transition was happening from winter to spring. And I just was thinking, oh, my grandfather would just love this. We'd be talking about fishing right now and organizing our tackle box and getting ready to go. And so I'm sitting there daydreaming and thinking of all these wonderful things that we did together and the garden he used to make for us and this time that just stood out in my mind when he fashioned newspaper into these wonderful hats, because all of a sudden there was this torrential downpour. So I'm just daydreaming away and thinking of my grandfather. And I should note that prior to this, I had mopped the floor. I had cleaned the kitchen. It was so clean you could eat off the floor. So I'm thinking of my grandfather, and I, for some reason, and I do feel this. I feel the presence of spirits that have passed on, and this is something I've been able to do ever since I was a child. I felt my grandfather's presence. I felt him standing next to me while I was doing dishes. I should have asked him if he wanted to dry. But I was there, and I just started talking out loud to him and said, you know what, I love you so much, and thank you so much for being such a beautiful part of my life, and I am so happy that that you were with me all those years. I don't know if I ever thanked you, but thank you so much. So I'm about to leave. I was washing dishes this whole time, and I'm about to put the last dish in the drying rack, and I turned around, and I looked on the floor, and there's something on the floor that was not there before, and I thought, well, this is odd. I just cleaned the floor. How could there possibly be something there? Something at that moment made me look at the wall, and my son, JP, had made a Valentine for me, and it had been there for weeks and weeks, and I noticed that one of the sequins had fallen off the Valentine. So I look at this thing on the floor, and I'm about to pick it up and throw it away. And something made me take a second look. I thought, you know, what is this? What is this thing before I get rid of it? So I picked it up, held it under the light, and it was in the shape of a heart. It was a sequin in the shape of a heart. And I knew it was my grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people listening might say, oh, for heaven's sakes, get real, woman. We are, let's get this act together here. This is, you're talking about finding a heart-shaped sequin on the floor. Okay, big deal. You were doing your heart sequin work 3 months ago, and your vacuum just didn't pick it up. Okay. What I think we need to let people know is that this is very individual,
mm-hmm.
and there is this subtleness that goes on in life.
Oh, yes.
That is to the individual, and I cannot tell you how many thousands of people, literally, I've heard the stories of, that it's expressed in different ways. People, I have a lady that I know well, and hummingbirds represent her mother.
Oh.
And she said that every time she sees hummingbirds, that it speaks to her of her mother's spirit. Her mother is a very tiny little person, and she said she's like the Energizer Bunny. She's always going. And
aww.
So the hummingbird seemed to be around her mother at some point, and she said, Mom, that is your symbol. That's your symbol. So there are those factors of identification that many of us will recognize. And I think that that's so important to bring out. This is very, very personal.
It is extremely personal, and people will say to me, well, how do I know it's a sign, like you just said? You know, yes, there have been people in my life that have said, you know what, so you found that on the floor. What's so great about that? And it's a coincidence. Well, first of all, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in synchronicity. And secondly, the timing of the event was so exquisite. The fact that I'm thinking of my grandfather, there's nothing on the floor. I'm saying I love you, and turn around, and there is a heart-shaped sequin on the floor. He communicates to me by sending me hearts. On
mm-hmm.
Mother's Day, I just happened to be, I was actually flying around like a maniac trying to get everything ready for the day because I was having everyone over here for dinner. And in a quiet moment, just happened to pick a strawberry out of a basket that was heart-shaped. In fact, it's on Facebook. I took a picture of it, because it was so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather and grandmother always give me hearts on holidays.
So and that just, for you is very personal. This is this is something you identify with. I know that in Native lore, whenever you will speak to anyone of Native American culture or any Aboriginal culture, they have a sense of life and the transition factors, and they are very much aware of those on the other side that will come through and speak to them, and that there are, doors of information that can open, that can give you an insight to what is evolving. I mean, this has been portrayed in history. I think one of the most difficult things there is to be able to communicate effectively and well about how things can happen with people and the variables involved. People have experiences where they enter what I call time vortexes, or maybe you want to use the term time warp, where they are thrown forward, just like the Star Trek depiction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're moved at such a speed, it's not even a blink. It's faster than that. And all of a sudden, they see a picture of something that can definitely be the future. Or they can see something that's back in the past somewhere. And people will say, well, we don't understand this. Well, I don't know that you can put it into a little Petri dish and, you know, manufacture it. It doesn't happen that way. It's very, very spontaneous. And that's one of the nice things about your book, Silent Voices of the Soul, is that you're relating your experiences and how there is this rhythm and harmony. And if one is willing to be aware of their space, not somebody else's space, but of their own space, it's amazing. And women feel this many more times strongly than men do, because we are the protectors. We are the ones that give birth to children. Mother Nature has endowed us, at least this is my observation as well as belief, that the female has been endowed with this for the purpose of survival, for the protection of the children she may have and of whomever may be in her circle. And it is something that's quite fascinating to me. I've seen so many things demonstrated, whether it's telepathically or otherwise. And we women just look at each other and go, uh-huh. And if you'll notice, most of the scientists that disagree are males. They go, uh-uh, this cannot work. And I go,
so
come
true.
On. It's a factor. And I think we have to have, one, a good sense of humor about it, like we were joking just a moment ago. But also, I think we need to be aware that we have to be selective, we have to be discerning, and we have to be discriminating, because not everything in life is woo-woo. It's not that way. And it's not all fluff and stuff.
No.
This isn't a Walt Disney cartoon, thank you very much.
No.
You're going to have all kinds of characters. You're going to have your Charles Bronson specials. You're going to have all kinds of things that can hit in life. So many times, this awareness of these whispers, as you like to call it, can literally save a life.
Oh, definitely. Awareness is a beautiful thing. It is absolutely incredible to experience. And we all have the ability to do it. We all have access to divine intelligence. That is the beautiful thing about this. It's not just, you know, some people have this gift and some people don't. We all have it.
Right. I agree. Now, you had an experience with your son, Thomas, that I thought was quite special, because you're aware, as an adult and having walked through various experiences, that when you want to take over control of your space, you do certain things. But your little boy, Thomas, was having trouble at school, and he's a psychic himself. He's very sensitive. Tell us how you resolved this. What was his issue? Was that he was feeling other people's sadness. Tell us how you helped him resolve this.
Oh, it was just so... It was so incredible. He was having such a hard time in school. He was fine, you know, up until this happened. He kept saying to me, I don't want to go to school. And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, I want to be home with you. And I said, well, I love you, honey, and I would love to spend every waking minute of the day with you, but you have to go to school. I said, you know, my job is at home and your job is at school. He said, you don't understand. I can't be in that classroom. I said, well, can you explain to me why? And he said, I just feel sad. He said, I feel so sad, I start to cry. I said, is it because you're missing me? He said, no. He said, I do miss you, but that's not what it is. So I said, okay. I said, I'm going to pray on this. I said, we're going to figure this out. He happened to have an allergist appointment one day, so I had to pick him up from school. And I'm an empath, and I feel things to the heart of my soul, feel energy very, very strongly. I open the door to the classroom, Donna, and this overwhelming feeling of sadness hit me to the point where I felt like I was going to cry. And I didn't think anything of it, though. We had to go to the doctor, and I kind of just pushed that feeling aside and did what I had to do and came home and was talking to my mom on the phone, and she said, you know, how was the doctor's, and you know, I told her all of that, and then for some reason, which was, you know, it was a very specific set of words that I chose, not realizing what I was even saying, I said, you know, I picked Thomas up at school and felt this overwhelming sense of sadness when I opened the door. the classroom. She said, did you hear what you just said? I said, no, what did I just say? She said, you felt somebody's sadness. That's what he's feeling, and that's why he doesn't want to go to school. So I thanked her, and I knew it was spirit in disguise telling me that you know, this was the issue, and now I had a starting place. I knew what to do. I said, Thomas, mommy feels energy just like you, and what you're feeling is from someone else. And I said, what I want you to do when you're in that space, because you know you're going to have to deal with this in life. This is something that you are going to come up against because you're so sensitive. I want you to start thinking of things that make you feel good, because this is energy, and we are in control of our own energy. And so let's think of things that you love to do to offset this. So he came up with all kinds of wonderful things, and he was saying, well, I love to do math, and I love to read, and I love to sing. And so he came up with his own plan so that when he felt the sadness, he could go into this other energy and completely transform his space. He mastered this, which was so incredible to me because he was so little. And one day came home from school off the bus. I mean, we had been having weeks and weeks of him coming home crying and saying, I just don't ever want to go to school again. He came home and ran to me and said, I'm so happy, Mom. He said, I'm happy again. And he had worked this whole thing out. It was just complete. It was so incredible to me. But I was able to reach him because he and I are kindred spirits. We're both empathic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the stories that you have are such fine illustrations. You talk from your heart. You talk as a mom. Your children have, you've got some wonderful illustrations about things that your children did and made you aware of. And I think that is what makes your book such a comfortable read and such an insightful read. And your book is Silent Voices of the Soul. Now, your website, I know we're just about out of time here.
Yes.
Robin, what is your website?
www.robinleevella.com, and it's www.robinleighvella.com.
Now, with the time we have remaining, Robin, is there a thought you would like to leave with my listeners?
I want everyone to know, like I said, that this gift that we all have, we have access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Make yourself quiet so that you can hear the whisper. The reason that we do not receive these spiritual messages that are ever present is because they become one with the noise. When we're in noise, then the messages blend in with all the noise. It's only when we get quiet that we're able to receive Spirit's whisper.
Those are very wise words. Her book, Robin's book, is Silent Voices of the Soul, How to Recognize the Spiritual Messages in Everyday Life. It is, again, something that will touch your heart and your mind. And if you've been having experiences of your own, and you wonder if you're the biggest nutcase on this planet, or what is it that you should pay attention to, I think her book would really make you feel more comfortable in your own intuitive skin. That is so important because what your experience is and what your expression is yours uniquely. So check out her website, robinleevella.com, Robin, L-E-I-G-H, V like Victor, E-L-L-A.com. I know that you'd be able to just tap it and find out more about her in this wonderful book. Robin, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna. I had a wonderful time.
Good. I enjoyed your stories. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget the book, Silent Voices of the Soul. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna broadcasting to you live from Anchorage, Alaska, where, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, it is just fabulously gorgeous here. And everybody and anybody is outside. They are saying, with weather like this, there is no way we are going to be inside, and I cannot blame them one bit. It is a place where it is daylight until 10 o'clock at night, and then it just sort of goes into a twilight. And before you know it, it is going to be almost a full 24 hours of daylight. It really is a fascinating phenomenon if you've never experienced it. And it's something up here, Alaskans, boy, they come out in droves. They are out there doing whatever they need to do in their gardens or traveling around, and the tourists are coming into town, and the place is just really hot to trot. That's the only way I know how to describe it. There's a wonderful vibrancy up here in the state, and I think it's a fabulous place to visit. So I hope if you've never been to Alaska that you'll take the opportunity at some time in your life to come up into this country that represents, I think, some of the hardiest people and history that we have. It's just amazing. Okay, telephone number to call into. Phone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. And remember, all I need is your first name or your initial. Then let me tell you what I perceive. And after that, you're welcome to ask me any question that you might have. So 888-815-9756. Let's see what the lineup is going to be next week. I'll be back in the Pacific Northwest. The Bread and Butter Chronicles by Star Cochran. We're going to be finding out some how-tos that I think you'll really enjoy. We're going to be talking about The Total Law of Attraction by Dr. David Chi. Then on Wednesday, we'll be talking about The Parent's Guide to Texting, Facebook, and Social Media for Teenagers. Believe me, this is good for adults, too. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about You're the Boss, 5 Steps to Take Charge of Your Health, by Dr. Gary Epler. This is really a good batch of information to have handy. And then on Friday, a week from today, we'll be talking with Australian forensic healer Marisol Russo. And she is visiting the United States, and we are fortunate to be able to have her as a guest on the show. And we'll be finding out about what she does as a healer and how she came in to understand her skills and her abilities. Healing is something that has been documented throughout the ages. Dealing with energy, knowing how to harmonize a body that is in disharmony, does take a particular skill and talent. It takes a lot of discipline and a willingness to practice to be effective. So it's a fascinating area, and I hope that you will tell your friends and join us for all of our shows next week, and listen to these people that have their own special message to give you. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756.
Today's world moves at an incredible pace. We expect technology to get us to where we want to go on one level or another. And speed is the essence. I don't know that it's always the best thing to implement. However, here are some tips that if you find you're in a dilemma, let's say a missing manual. You have a car, you have an appliance, you want to do some work on it. Well, if you need to update something, if you need to know what you can adapt, you want to find out where your owner's manual is so that you can use it. Maybe you can't find it. Maybe you've had something for a lot of years and somehow or another the manual disappeared. Well, you can go to safemanual.com, safemanual.com. There's more than 2 million user manuals for all kinds of products, from appliances and electronics to cars. All you have to do when you get to that website is type in the item and the manufacturer you're looking for, and you can download the information for free. How good does that get? Then, if you are wanting to find a yearbook, I can't imagine why that would be important. However, for a lot of people, it is. They really have this vibrant, vital connection, either to their high school or their college. Maybe they even had it in junior high. I don't know. But there is a website called memorylane.com, memorylane.com. They have digitalized 70,000 yearbooks from schools across the country from the past 60 years. That is amazing. So if you didn't get one, you'd be able to get one now. You can enter your school and year, and you can flip through the pages on your computer, and you can, if you want, reminisce for free. Again, that is something, who would have thought anybody would take the time to do it? Old friends. Wow. This I was personally affected by because of a person that looked for me, believe it or not, for 30 years, and it was through the internet and through the interaction with another person that she found me. Now, you already know that you can Google them. You can dial 411 in the city where they live and check social media sites, of course, like Facebook and LinkedIn.com. And by the way, I know of someone who located their son, who they had not been able to find for 10 years. They located him on Facebook. But if you come up empty after those options, you can go to a free online directory like 411.com or ZABA Search.com, Z-A-B-A Search.com. All you have to do is type in the person's name and the last state you know that person lived in. If that doesn't work, then go to PeopleSearch.com or PublicRecords.com. They have possible matches for what you're looking for free. And then if you find it, then there's, a real small fee that you have to pay to pick up the address and the phone number. Lost cell phones. Oh, my goodness. How many people have lost cell phones? Well, all you have to do is go to wheresmycellphone.com, W-H-E-R-E-S, mycellphone.com. Enter your telephone number, and they'll call it for free. Now, if you have lost your phone in a cab, restaurant, or don't remember where you had it last, you need to alert your service provider so they can prevent anyone else from using it, and then register it in the database of lost phones at missingphones.org. Missingphones.org. You can enter your phone serial number, and your service provider will give it to you if you don't have it handy. Or you can find it on your phone's original packaging, and then they'll call you if someone turns it in. Better, they say, to subscribe to your carrier's phone locator service before it gets lost, and they'll find your lost phone by using GPS technology. But you have to do it, obviously, before you lose it. So those are just some tips that I thought you might enjoy. There's all kinds of information available and all kinds of resourceful people. So be aware that that is available to you. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to give me a call, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number. Have you dealt with an individual in your working environment that just frustrates the blue blazes out of you? Or maybe you have a family member that does nothing but frustrating. Well, I'll tell you. If you get to those moments, and I don't know of anyone that hasn't experienced it, maybe this story that I'm going to be sharing with you about a woman who resolved it, this is a woman that's a doer, but she did resolve it. And she resolved it in an interesting way. Her name is Jane. And Jane was a very intelligent, efficient, doing kind of a person. I mean, if you told Jane to do something, by golly, she got it done. She had someone working with her, a co-worker by the name of Debbie. And she had become Debbie's boss. Now, Jane and Debbie had been very good friends for a good deal of time. When Jane was promoted to her position, she really had to stay on top of things, because when you're a manager, it's your job to oversee everything that's going on. You've got to make sure that things are done on time. And there was a project that Debbie had been given, and for some reason, Debbie just wasn't getting it done. Well, there was a time frame that Debbie had to get this work done in, and it was getting close to the wire, and the firm that Jane was working for, letting her know that everything was completed except the report by Debbie. Well, she kept going in and talking to Debbie, "Debbie, we need this," so on and so forth. Well, here we are, right to the time wire. And of course, she goes in and she talks to Deb, and she just said, "You can't put this off anymore. You've got to get this done." Well, Debbie was very frustrated. The project that she had been given, she was quite capable of doing. But it was a challenge to her because it meant thinking in an entirely different way that she wasn't accustomed to. And in fact, it was really like a 180-degree shift from what she was accustomed to. And Jane sort of lost it. Debbie was giving her excuses, and she said, I just don't have any more patience for this. You've got to get control of yourself and your fears. I'm tired of your excuses." And she walked out of the office where she had been talking to her friend Debbie. Well, it agitated her no end, and she just absolutely was wired. Jane goes home, and she's complaining to her husband. And her husband was in the position of management, but he very rarely ever complained about anybody. And she just said, I just don't know what to do. So she decided, I just have to let it go, but it is really, really stressing to me. Well, her husband was very patient with all of her comments and her outbursts. I mean, after all, he was her safe place to be able to vent her feelings. But it really was affecting him quite strongly after a while. And she said one morning before she had to go back to work on this after this weekend, she was given an article, and it was titled "Surviving Life's Stormy Seas." But what it was all about is her husband felt that it had more to do with Jane than it did with Debbie. Her husband had asked her, "Why do you think Debbie is struggling with a task?" And she had never taken the time to find out why Debbie was being so challenged. It hit her like a brick. The article that he had put down in front of her, "Surviving Life's Stormy Seas," sort of addressed the issue. Are you really listening? Are you paying attention to what's going on? Well, what happened is, with her husband's subtle action, putting this article in front of her, Jane got her aha. The issue wasn't Debbie, it was with her. And she had not taken the time to find out what the challenge was. So she went in on the morning, first morning back to work. She goes back in and she talks to Debbie. She apologizes to her. She said, "I realize that I have been making this very difficult for you. If you have a moment, why don't you come into my office and let's talk about some ideas that maybe can make it better for you?" Well, that made all the difference in the world. Jane, instead of slamming a door on communication, opened up the door. And Debbie said, "I really would appreciate that," because she was not sure of how to make the transition as she needed to make it. The project got done, and it was done well. But it happened because communication was opened between two individuals that both wanted to accomplish what was necessary, but had two different thought formats to work with. And all that was needed was the openness of communication so that the changes needed could be done. I just thought I'd share that with you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, broadcasting from Anchorage, Alaska. Give me a call if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm up here in Anchorage, and I wanted to share a little bit of history with you about the Russians and Alaska. Now, those of you that in school learned a little bit about this history, it's absolutely marvelous. But you know, Alaska is such a powerful country. It is rugged. You don't take anything for granted here. You really can't. Very few people are wise traveling in Alaska without emergency kits in their vehicle because you may need them, or you may come across a situation where somebody else might need them. It really is an amazing place. Not only do you have such a diversity of animals that live up here that don't live anywhere else, there's no space for them anywhere else anymore, like your grizzly and certain species of wolves and other critters, but there is this dynamic of history relating to Russia that plays in as well. In 1966, there was an Archangel Cathedral. It's St. Michael, the Archangel Cathedral, that burned to the ground. Now, this was in Sitka, Alaska, and people did everything they could. Once they found the fire happening, they decided they were going to risk their lives, if necessary, to carry everything out of this old Russian Orthodox church that they could. They were really in serious danger when they were doing this. They managed to unhook a 300-pound brass chandelier, carried it out, and the people that participated in the rescue of the artifacts thought that it was really a miracle. And I have a picture of it in front of me, and it's this old wooden structure. When you study Russian history, the structures were made of wood, just like early Americans used wood, because that was the most convenient resource available for building materials. And of course, just like in Europe and throughout Russia, the former Soviet Union, in fact, the entire country, then your buildings burned. I mean, they could go up in literally just minutes. Well, they were able, because they had photographs of this very, very old cathedral, they were able to rebuild it. And the Alaskan culture has tried to save and salvage as much of the Russian history associated with this stage that they possibly could, and not all of it. In fact, most of it is pretty ugly. It really is. In the 18th and 19th centuries, Russian traders destroyed both the sea otter and many of the native Aleut families that they used as slaves. That's right. It was a pretty rough world. And the people were affected horribly. And they tortured them. And there was a book that was written by Corey Ford of the Bering Expedition by the Russians. And it was titled, Where the Sea Breaks Its Back. They imported diseases that wiped out 80% of the Aleuts. And the otters, as I said, disappeared too. But there were a tiny amount that the hunters didn't find. And Alaska then, when they had killed almost all the animals that had the value with the fur, because that was the business, then they lost their interest in the state. Now, Russia sold Alaska to the United States for $7.2 million in 1867. That doesn't sound like anything today, right? You're correct. It would be many, many times. It would be in the billions today. But in the process of the Russians occupying the state of Alaska, they had converted many natives to Christianity, and it started in the Aleutians, and the oldest Russian Orthodox Church is the restored cruciform-style Holy Ascension Cathedral in Unalaska. And that was 1824 to 27 when it was built, and it's like Juneau's Nicholas Russian Orthodox Church. They have fascinating artworks on the inside that come from the 18th century. They also built in Sitka, St. Michael's, along with St. Michael's, they've got a Russian bishop's house, and there's so many other places that they put together here in Alaska and have made a point of preserving because of the historical association. A little bit of history. The Europeans, and which the Russians were considered Europeans, and the natives in Alaska. Don't think that the natives were quiet in the takeover process. They were not. There's a stretch of shore within the Sitka National Historic Park where the Tlingits defended their fort from Russian ships in 1804, and the Russian governor, Alexander Baranov, was seriously injured, and 12 of his people died. And the natives reestablished on the site of Sitka, and they didn't have an easy peace for a long time. There is a museum here in Anchorage, and there are museums throughout Alaska that show many of these Russian artifacts. In fact, there's one that's a bronze double-headed eagle emblem, one of only two in existence, and it's a medallion presented to Baranov by Empress Catherine the Great. Yes, it's right here in Alaska. And there are so many other items that people in this state have taken very loving care of. So a lot of Alaska has this Russian association, and today we live in a different time. People are not destroying things. They're trying to protect them as best as they can. Isn't it interesting how history evolves? There seem to be these waves where we go out, we destroy, and then we rebuild. And I like to think that that's what we're doing today because of our education and understanding of misuse of environments and other elements, that we're rebuilding. We're becoming aware, and we're saying, let's clean up our act. And I do think that's occurring. This is Donna Sebo. I'm out of time here. I will be back in my home office in the Pacific Northwest on Monday. I look forward to joining you then. I wish you a wonderful weekend. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent time wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Life is rich. Life is good. Enjoy it. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.